increase our faith. This is what those who'd been with Jesus day and night, day after day, said to him, increase our faith. If anyone was going to have faith, don't you think it would be those who'd walk next to Jesus as he taught and he healed, performed miracles, helped so many, brought people together? Wouldn't they say to each other, remember when he did this and that? So if they felt they needed more faith, where are we? I think we're actually in very much the same situation. And I get this from prayerfully reflecting on our text today. What does Jesus say to such a request? He says, if you had the faith, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. As I consider what the grace of this story is for us, and coming at it from the perspective of my training as a spiritual director, I hear, take your small little seed of faith and put it to work. Plant it somewhere and watch it grow. Watch it grow. Faith, it seems, cannot just be given, but needs to be worked out, worked on, worked with, in a context, in concrete, real-world situations. It's interesting, in our epistle we heard, you know, the faith of the mothers come down, and that's true. Many of you are here because people in your lives, perhaps your mothers, your fathers, taught you about faith. But wasn't there a moment when you needed to make it your own, claim it as your own, find it as your own? I often advise people, and myself, who come to me, I advise them to remember that God is incarnational. It's not possible to have faith in the abstract. It's really not possible to discern things in the abstract or know God. We need to go for it, to dive in, to take the risk, to try something on, and then watch our knowledge of God and of ourselves and of faith grow. There's some ways about thinking about faith and God that do not help us. I'm sure many ways, actually. But I want to look at two today. Sometimes people think, and it's often said, and poor Thomas gets a bad rap, that the opposite of faith is doubt. But really, what gets in the way of faith is fear. Doubt is all part of faith. Feeling secure in our faith one day and maybe the next not feeling secure. I wouldn't even call it doubt necessarily. For me, it's kind of sort of a feeling of, is this really what I think it is, God? Am I getting this right? And I wonder. So we go back and forth. We go up and down. That's normal. But fear is what really gets us in trouble. In Paul Tillich's famous little book published in the 1950s, The Dynamics of Faith, Tillich makes the point that courage is a huge part of faith. It's interesting, in his book, which is highly abstract and theoretical, he makes the point that you can't live your faith that way, that you have to get out and experience it. Another matter that comes up a lot with regard to faith is success. Success. How are faith and success related? This also has something to do with the prosperity gospel, which I won't get into too much today, but that's that idea that if we're faithful, we will be successful. And if you missed Kristen's sermon from a few weeks ago about being blessed, it relates to all of what she said as well. So faith and success, what is that about? If we lack courage, if we're afraid we're going to fail and we don't take risks, we might not act. We might not give our faith a chance to grow. Faith can become like a museum piece, something that's there that we put on a shelf, and maybe we admire it even, but it's not living. We need actual experiences of living our faith to increase it, for it to be increased, for it to grow, and to even know what it is. For those who think they don't have faith, you might be in a better position than you think you are. Try doing something like the things Jesus did. See what happens. Care for the poor, the sick, those in prison, the outcast. Teach. Be about healing. Get out among the people. Pray in community. This is how faith is known and how it develops. This church took a lot of risks along the way. Holy Comforter was the first church to go to Pride Fest long ago, the first church in Richmond. As much as I'm sure the people then were confident in what they were doing, it was a risk, right? When we do something that's never been done before, and you can think of these things in your own life, something you've never done before, it's risky. So there they were. The people of Holy Comforter, they were out. They were out there. And what about the risk that the people of Holy Comforter took when they decided after World War II that they needed a bigger church? That was a risk. This church was originally founded in 1901, 1902, and was at the corner of Grove and Shields in the Fan, but after the baby boom, it wasn't big enough. So they took a risk and they bought land out here in the woods. There was nothing out here, you guys. It was woods. And I'm going off a little bit on a tangent, but one of my favorite stories about Holy Comforter is how the people then, and some of you knew them, were with us. Maybe, I don't know if anyone's left who was here, but cut down the trees themselves rather than having the government clear all the trees away. So on this St. Francis Remembrance Day, they were eco-aware even back then. So these two decisions, they're different, but they're both about being willing to take a risk. Some of the people who founded the church in this location didn't live long enough to see the church proper built. You know, they worshiped in the parish house for years before this building was built. And so their act of faith, taking that chance, was their reward. It was reward enough. In fact, often we have no idea of the impact we are making. It comes out, it grows later. Jesus knew this was going to be an issue. Maybe the early church was already experiencing some disappointments, a lack of feedback. I think some of the harsh language in our gospel reading today comes from this. The realization, and this is how it truly is, when we act in faith and we're being Jesus' hands and heart in the world, it's not about being thanked for it. The very act of itself is reward, and we might not see the results, certainly in their fullness. A week ago Saturday, Holy Comforter was out there again at Pride Fest. We go out there to witness to God's love for all people. We talked with many people. Many of you were there, and we were in different shifts, so we didn't all see each other at the same time. But I know you and I, we talked with many people we may never see again. We might not see them. We don't know what their encounter with us might spark in their lives. We plant seeds, these little seeds of ours, these seeds of faith, and then God brings the growth. I will say, it was kind of like a Jesus moment out there when some young people came up to us and said, "Is this the church we heard about that's giving out free water?" We're like, "Yes, we are." I don't know, it just came to me how people came up to Jesus. "Are you the one? Are you the one who's doing these things?" So they heard about us and that we had something to give, and God was in that. God was in that, and a seed, yes. We may never know our impact. And then we may try something that we realize really didn't work. That happens too. I've found in my own life that not being successful was in the end much better for faith, because all that's left is God. Right? It can't be about you. It's God there still holding us, being there for us, encouraging us. God is always there for us. And when we need God most, we're often the most open to receive the grace, and faith increases. There's also a phenomenon of faith that God, the Spirit, works through you and me to help other people in their faith journeys. The Spirit does things we're, again, not aware of or couldn't imagine. Think of the times you've touched someone's life and God worked through that. And it doesn't have to be specifically about religion. It can be about healing or hope or new relationships. There's a thing that happens here in church, and those of you who've given sermons know about this. So I might be preaching about X, Y, and Z, and then after the service, someone will come up to me and said, "That was amazing when you said A, B, and C." Like, they repeat something I didn't say, like something totally different. And that helps me always remember God's at work, and the Spirit touches people, and God changes lives again and again. God takes our seed and brings forth the growth. We are called to faithfulness, not success. We're called to faithfulness, not fear. Today we're blessing animals during our service in remember of St. Francis, whose feast day was October 4th. Francis of Assisi took a great risk, which did not look like success at all to anyone he knew. His family was not pleased. Born into a well-to-do family, he gave up everything material and their plans for him to be for God in the way God was calling him to be. The story goes that he was in an old church that was in need of repair, and in his mind he heard God say, "Rebuild my church." He thought God meant physically to rebuild that church, but as he continued to pray and discern, he realized God was talking about a spiritual rebuilding. As an aside, if you're sitting here and you hear God say, "Rebuild my church," it might actually be about the building. If you came, we're doing fine. I mean, obviously this building is beautiful and in great shape, but being an older structure in the parish house, we always are in need of repair, and we're working on that. And if you didn't get to see our stewardship presentation last Sunday, it will be available online. It talks something about the building and all that we can do to support our church. So in Francis's case, God was calling him to rebuild the church in a different way, and it would become this Franciscan spirituality, a robust spirituality that was in the world, serving the poor, that cared, that celebrated God's creation so much that the legend is that animals would come to St. Francis. Being as we are, and I know I preach about this all the time, but it's right in front of us. Being as we are in a moment in history when God's creation is not doing well, it's in the news a lot, it's on our hearts and minds, St. Francis is a saint for us. Of course, he could not save the church from the troubles ahead. There was the Reformation coming up. But he was faithful and made a difference. Certainly with the people he knew and the places where he lived and ministered. So we're making a difference when we do those things that may seem small. When we recycle, we're acting for the good of God's creation. It's easy to get discouraged. You know, I wonder if recycling my almond milk carton is really making a difference. But again, it's not success. It's not success. We might not see what comes of this, but our goal as Christians is to be faithful, to follow God's call, and then God gives the growth. If we were worried about success, we would never tell a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea. Holy Comforter would not be here at the corner of Monument and Staples Mill. Probably most of what's happened and worked out in our lives and our church would never have happened in work, relationships, and faith. We plant the small seed. We offer it. We offer what we have, and God gives the growth. Amen.